eating disorders really thrive in the shame and the secrecy. And we need to ultimately talk to other people and bring in other people for support so that they can help us, you know, distinguish our own voice, you know, me, Victoria, from our eating disorder voice, because it sounds like they're one and the same. And, you know, what happens is why often we end up with eating disorder is because we're feeling disconnected from our life.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
Hey, come on in here. Let's get started again now. Here we go. We're going to work and talk and educate you and get you fired up, get you motivated, get you inspired, that you're going to realize we may have challenges in life, but there is a life that's worth living and going after, thriving, not just surviving. So, hey, today on our podcast today, our guest, we're going to talk about food. Food if you're afraid to use it. Food if you're more than happy using. And how we should be using and stuff like that for our nutrients, for our gain, for our, you know, sustaining life. Not just for pleasure or abuse. So we're going to get started here. Welcome to the show. And where are we at? Right here. Victoria Evans. Come on in. There you are. Come on in here.
Hi there.
Hey, I appreciate you coming in today. And we're going to get everybody all fired up, get them educated, get them encouraged to know the right thing we need to do. So hope you're having a beautiful day.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day here. The sun is coming out here in Canada. So yeah, super excited to get to chat with you today.
There we go. Thank you. All right. Now let's go ahead and I read a little bit on your information. And so let's go ahead and get started. Where you think is most appropriate. What I read on your website, it was more talking about your university days. So, but do we go where you think we need to lead us up to?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think with many women as men as well, you know, many of us struggle with our weight, right? And I struggled with my weight, you know, for my entire life. And I also simultaneously struggled with my mental health. And I was really convinced that, you know, if I had a certain body type, if I looked a certain way, then I'd be happy and things would be great and my life would really start. And so, you know, I battled multiple eating disorders from the age of 12 all the way up to age of 22, whether it be bulimia or anorexia or binge eating disorder or exercise addiction. And I got to this point where I was really in a really, really skinny body. And, you know, my hair was falling out. I'd lost my period. You know, I was really, really sick with an eating disorder. And I just got to this moment where I realized, you know, there was never going to be enough weight loss that I was going to be happy and it was going to be good enough. And so it was very much just kind of identity shattering, kind of who am I, kind of one of those moments where when you work your entire life to become this version of yourself and look a certain way, you get there, you know, and whether it be this is someone with a job or a, you know, a career, or a house or whatever, you get to that thing and you tick that box and you realize that it's not what you expected. And so I know for many of us, we're chasing that body and chasing that weight loss, but ultimately knowing that when we get there, it's not going to be what you think it is. And so now I really help women particularly to, you know, heal their relationship with food and their body so that they see themselves as more than a body. You know, they see their worth as more than just their external appearance so we can focus on the things that really matter in life.
And if we, you know, look deep down within ourselves, we have a lot to offer to people more than, like you said, it's more than just the body. I mean, we can offer a lot more between our ears and be able to do more for anybody to help than just the body.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And that's always why I say to people as well, you know, especially during this pandemic, people's weight has changed a lot. And our eating habits were often very much self-protection. And if we are here, regardless if we gained some weight, you know, we survived. We're surviving that pandemic. And so knowing that when we compliment people on weight loss or when we say things about people's bodies, we reduce them to a body, right? If I say to someone, oh my God, you look amazing, you've lost so much weight, what happens if they gain that weight? because we know statistically we weight cycle. If we lose weight, we're going to gain more weight after, right? And so if we're complimenting someone for losing weight, then what happens is now they feel like they're just a body. And when they gain weight, they feel so much shame and so much embarrassment because they think, well, they've complimented me on this and that's who I am. If I gain weight, it also says, you know, you look amazing, you lost weight. Does it mean before that they didn't look good, right? So all these kind of things, it really makes us just about our bodies. And like you're saying, we're so much more than that.
Now, is this a lot of women that are low self-esteem, ego, low self-esteem, low caring, that they feed off this ego of people looking and saying, boy, you look great now that you've lost this weight. And like you said before, does that mean I wasn't looking good or great or you know, mm-hmm. that you recognized the difference? Do you think it goes some with the low self-esteem that they're looking for to do all that?
I think it's we're trying to fill an internal void with external things. And, you know, we weren't born hating our bodies. We were taught to, especially as women, especially even socialized as a woman, right? We weren't born thinking that, you know, having rolls and cellulite was a bad thing. We were conditioned to believe that. And as women, we are sold products, we are sold services to say, you're not very good as you are, but if you buy this product, then you'll be happy. Then people will like you, right? The before and the after photos, always the one you want to strive for. So even if you came into this world, which we all do with a strong sense of self and having, you know, a good sense of self-worth and all of that, it's going to be chipped away and diminished over time just through living the society that we live in, right? Through this diet culture of shaming women's bodies and telling us that we have to look a certain way in order to be loved, in order to be desirable. And so obviously, you know, when we kind of live in that realm and then we're being fed these diets and weight loss programs and everything, the conclusion, of course, is that we're not enough as we are and that we can't accept ourselves as we are because we've been sold this idea our entire life that unless we look like this very particular version of ourselves, that we aren't enough. So it is very kind of complicated, you know, kind of realm we live in. That's also why I help women really kind of distinguish, like, what is diet culture? What are the people and the programs trying to sell you this idea that you're not enough as you are and then sell you the product that is the solution that doesn't even work, right? Like 97% of diets, they fail. There's a reason for that, right? They're not meant, they're designed to fail so that you continue to buy more products. And they tell you that if you were just better at dieting, if you had more willpower or motivation, then it would have worked for you. That's not the case at all. It's a very, you know, specifically designed system to keep people thinking they're not enough as they are and then selling them solutions that will, you know, hopefully help them. But of course it doesn't. So it's a very kind of complicated way, but yes, at the core of it, essentially it's preying on people's internal need to want to feel loved and connected and good enough, right? As humans, you just want to feel that sense of belonging. And if we're being sold this idea that the only way we can belong is to look a certain way, then of course that's going to erode at our self-worth.
And one thing that you were mentioning, here's one thing I never understood is this is male and females, but I see it. And I don't have no research to back anything up. This is just what I've noticed and everything, but more on the women's side than the men's side. But, you know, they got these people that are showing this is what I looked like 40 pounds ago. And I look like this by taking this or by doing this. And then they're trying to change the name. Well, don't call it diet. And it's a life change. It's the same thing. You got to cut back and do what they're telling. And so, but to me, it seems like more of the women get the unrealistic looking bodies. You know, the girl that's 5'11", you know, at 110 or even less than that, I don't know. You know, it makes it look so much harder for them to accomplish that. But for them, they see how good looking she is, how beautiful she is, and I want to be like that.
There's definitely, it's more geared towards women, right? The policing of women's body. And that's nothing new, you know, whether it be through different fashion trends or diets, or I was even looking at, there's an ad, I think it was in the 50s, and it's like, oh, gain weight because otherwise he won't love you. Like, right. So it's just these completely different standards for women's bodies and what they should look like all through time, right? It's always changing. And it's definitely a way to control people, control women's bodies and keep them really focused because it is an opportunity cost. If I'm focusing on restricting myself. I'm not focusing on pushing women's wages and sitting at the table and smashing a glass ceiling, right? It's definitely that kind of a trade-off, and it keeps women very distracted. With that said, men definitely are impacted by this. They're maybe not as well represented when people talk about it, though. But especially in this age of social media, there is very much this like buff male gym guy like posted everywhere all over the internet. And men absolutely struggle with eating disorders and body image and all those kind of things, but we maybe don't talk about them quite as much.
Now, help me with this here. When, did we just put it in a general category, male and females, when they're losing this weight, they're feeling good they're losing the weight, and they see that they're losing the weight, and they stare into the mirror to see what's coming back, but then they're never satisfied with that weight loss, and then they keep going and going until they're really, I mean, down to the anorexic and really looking skeletal. But when they look in the mirror, what's in their mind? Is it so depleted from nutrients, the low confidence, and they, I mean, you can see bones, but then are they still looking at themselves fat?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it varies person to person, but generally there's a massive amount of body dysmorphia, right? You're not actually able to see what's in front of you. And a lot of that is fueled by the fact that you're not happy. It doesn't ever feel like it's enough. So it compounds this idea that what I'm seeing in the mirror is not what it's meant to be. So, you know, you can look at yourself, and I was looking at myself in the mirror, and I thought I was huge. I thought I had fat everywhere, and I was disgusting, and I was the most insecure I'd ever been. And yet, you know, I was essentially emaciated. Like, I was so, so thin, but I couldn't actually see that. And so it really depends person to person, kind of how they view themselves. But ultimately, what's happening is we're trying to, like saying before, fix something internal that's going on by changing our external appearance. And because we can't change our external appearance to fix how we're feeling inside, we can do everything outside. You know, we can get the job or change the body or marry the person. And we're going to feel that still, that internal sense of it's not enough because it was never the external thing to begin with. So it becomes a very complicated kind of an issue where, yeah, you can be looking in the mirror and not actually see what's truly there and still feel like you need to lose weight. And you're really just chasing smoke because there's never going to be enough weight loss where you feel good about yourself and you feel confident and empowered, because that comes from the inside, not from an external thing.
All right. Now let's get back to you. When you were recognizing that you had lost your weight and you said your period had stopped and your hair is falling out and you're still looking in the mirror going, something just still isn't right. I mean, what finally snapped you into the right mind? I mean, because you know your family and friends had to have seen what's going on, and they may or may not approach you, or they did approach and then you're so defensive that they don't come back. So what finally snapped you into going, this is just not healthy?
Yeah, it was super difficult because, you know, like we were saying before about, you know, social media and the before and after photos, I did end up buying this crazy weight loss program on Instagram, a woman who had millions of followers and perfect abs, who was a bikini competitor. And I was posting all over her social media with like, look at Victoria, she's doing amazing. You know, look at how much weight she's lost. So you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes of those before and those after photos. So I was getting a lot of positive praise from everyone online, from my work. I lived away from home because of my work. And so I didn't have people in my direct community able to say, hey, is something going on? Rather, I was getting a lot of comments of, how did you do it? You look so good. Tell me your secret. Can you tell me more about how you're doing this thing? And so I wasn't necessarily getting alarm bells from the people around me. But what kind of was the nail in the coffin, as it were, was it was about 2 a.m. and I woke up because I was so incredibly hungry. I hadn't really eaten and I had like a handful of trail mix. And for me, this was a big no-no. I was like super stressed out about food at this point in my life. Like any kind of food in my stomach was just so much anxiety. And I was crying on the floor in my apartment in Montreal and decided that, you know, an adequate punishment for having a handful of trail mix was running 30 kilometers. So I pulled on my running gear and at 3 a.m. started running through the streets of Montreal, 30 kilometers. And I started going up Mount Royal, which is the mountain there in Montreal. I remember just crying and having headlights of cars just like lighting up my face. and not wanting to be there. I did not want to be running. I was so exhausted. I was so defeated and so done, but my eating disorder wouldn't let me do anything but be out there running. And so I got to the top of the mountain. It was about 6 a.m. at this point, and the sun was just starting to rise. And, you know, I just had this moment of, you know, there's never going to be enough weight loss, and I can't do this on my own, and I need to get some help. It was just really this moment of like, I can't do this anymore. Like, my body, my mental health, everything, my whole life, you know, I wasn't even going out to see people anymore, doing things because I had to stay home and weigh my food. And, well, I couldn't go to this lunch thing because I have to go work out at lunch. Like, it became all consuming. So I'll say with clients, you know, we're never going to be free by implementing control. Like, you can't add more control of food and body in our life to ever feel a sense of freedom. And so I was standing at the top of the mountain, and I just really had this rock bottom moment and realized, like, I need to do something, or I'm not going to keep living. I'm going to die. And so I ran down the hill and called an eating disorder hotline and basically talked to them for hours and hours and hours. And they just, the first time in my life, I just felt heard. And I felt understood, and I felt like I wasn't alone. And up until this point, you know, I felt like I was broken and there was something wrong with me and I just needed more willpower or whatever. And having this conversation with this person and them telling me, you know, you're going to be okay. And I hear you, and this is super tough, and like, let's get you some help. And it just felt so, it was like a breath of fresh air knowing that I didn't have to go at it anymore. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying to open up and be vulnerable and honest. But it was also the absolute key for me to start moving forward in my healing.
Now, you mentioned something here that made me start thinking a little bit. Does part of this eating disorder, whichever way, have something to do with, like you just said, you felt alone all the time with why you're doing this, and nobody would understand. Mm-hmm. And so is that part of, and why they don't seek for help? Because they're thinking no one's going through what I'm going through. Even though they know there's eating disorder hotlines or healthcare places, but they won't understand because just guessing, you mentioned that. I was wondering if that may be a part of what causes this.
Yeah, eating disorders, they thrive in the shame. They thrive in the secrecy. And when you're not telling other people about it, that's how they live, right? Eating disorder is kind of like this part of yourself. Like, I don't know if anyone knows Harry Potter, but it's kind of like in the first movie when it's like, it kind of Voldemort like attached onto Professor Quirrell. That's kind of how I think about it. It's like they leech onto you. And if you don't tell anyone about them, that's how they continue to exist. That's how they thrive. That's how they live. Because when you start to talk about it, when you share with other people what's going on, they can start to have you question what your eating disorder is telling you, because it sounds like it's you. It sounds like it's your voice. It sounds like it's your thoughts, but it's this disordered, sick part of your brain that is telling you to do and think all these things. And so when you start to tell people about it and you start to talk to them about it, all of a sudden they're really saying, you know, I don't know if that sounds right. I don't know. Maybe it's a red flag, right? And we're starting to get that help there. So it's really important to start to talk about it and really be aware as well that, you know, all of eating disorders really thrive in that shame. And why we're often wanting to have a certain size body and look a certain way is because we're striving for connection.
All right, I'm back.
Oh, good.
It went off.
I was wondering. I was like, you froze there for a second, but then I was like, maybe it's just me. But then you disappeared. So I was like, no, definitely the internet.
It wasn't you. So I've had issue with this internet when it gets hot where I live. All right, so now I forgot my question, but it was something. What was going on the question?
We're talking about, you know, this feeling of kind of wanting to be isolated and kind of being disconnected from, I think, everyone around us in order for an eating disorder to kind of thrive. It's kind of where I was going with that. Yeah, so do you want me to pick up there?
You just keep going, because I've lost my train of thought and I've gotten...
Basically, I was just saying that eating disorders really thrive in the shame and the secrecy, and we need to ultimately talk to other people and bring in other people for support so that they can help us, you know, distinguish our own voice, you know, me, Victoria, from our eating disorder voice, because it sounds like they're one and the same. And, you know, what happens is why often we end up with eating disorder is because we're feeling disconnected from our life, right? And we're thinking that if I look a certain way, if I control my food, I can have an element of control in my life, I can feel more connected, I can feel happier, right? All these kind of things that we associate with looking a certain way. And ironically, those things drive disconnection, right? When I'm obsessing about everything I eat, when I'm obsessing about how I look, what happens is I cut myself off from the rest of the world. I cut myself off from the opportunity to really deeply connect with people because everything I'm doing is superficial, right? If I'm only worrying about how I look, that doesn't go deep. That doesn't dig deep into who I am, myself as a person, which means my relationships around me are only going to go skin deep as well, right? That comes my whole world. So then everything is mirrored back to me of my only worth is my body, and I just have to look a certain way. And then I continue to feel disconnected because we're not able to connect because we're just doing shallow connection.
All right, good. Oh, that, I mean, it's awesome what you were saying there. Now, let's go into, I'm glad you were able to slap yourself silly and wake up with the 30-kilometer run, whatever a kilometer is. Here in the United States, we don't do kilometers. Yeah, so whatever that is. So, but I'm sure that's a long way at 30 kilometers. All right. So so I'm glad you were able to do that and was able to wake up and get that help and everything. If a listener is on, I mean, just listening at any time now, whenever, replay, if you can give them two or three advice, I mean, maybe they're riding that borderline. They're waking up a little bit and going, something's just not right. If you can give two or three advice on what they need to recognize within themselves to seek help.
Yeah. So the first thing I'd say is that if you're telling yourself, I need to lose weight, I need to look a certain way, right? What you're really saying is, I want to feel loved. I want to feel connected. I want to feel good enough. And you're feeling a lack of that somewhere in your life. And you're using your body as what you think is the problem when it's not. So getting super curious, getting super, you know, honest with yourself and asking yourself, where am I trying to use my body as a substitute for where in my life I feel like I'm lacking right now? Because we're never going to change our body enough to feel that internal need, that internal void of connection and worth and all of that. So if you find yourself, you know, looking in the mirror, looking at your body and telling yourself, I need to lose weight, right? Asking what I'm really saying right now. And that's not just, you know, of course I coach all about intuitive eating and how to really heal the relationship with food so that we, you know, aren't binge eating and we're not emotionally eating and all of that. So that's kind of a whole other piece there, but knowing when it comes specifically to what your body looks like, right? That's really more your body asking, saying, hey, I want to feel loved and connected and good enough. So that's the first thing.
Now let me stop it here on the first thing here. All right. It's pretty much looking to find the love within themselves. All right. To be able to accept their own the way they are. Okay. Is there a difference in wanting to lose weight because I'm seeking that love from within or whatever? Mm-hmm. Or is there a difference between that and my boyfriend told me I need to lose weight and then it's never enough for him either. And so I got to keep going. Or is it pretty much they get locked in and they're dragging down the rabbit hole together?
Yeah. What I would say when it comes to any kind of weight loss in general is it should never be the objective, but it can be a byproduct, right? If I think my goal in life should be to lose weight, that's not a good goal. If your goal in life is to move your body in a way that feels good, nourish your body with foods that make you feel good, you know, work on your mental health, work on your, you know, how to process emotions, your emotional intelligence, all those things, amazing. And that's exactly what I teach, right? And the byproduct of that is that your weight might change, right? We don't know. It might change if you're, so I basically prescribe to set point weight theory. This is what I coach. And basically this idea that your body knows where it wants to be. It has a happy, healthy range that fluctuates between 10, 15, 20 pounds. It's going to change your ghrelin, your leptin, which is your hunger and your fullness hormones, as well as like your metabolism, desire to move, all this controlled by your hypothalamus. So basically your body knows where it wants to be. If we're tuned into our body, we're not, you know, eating every time we're sad, or we're more checking in with ourselves and we're giving ourselves, I really look at it kind of like a self-care when we're eating intuitively, when we're practicing all those different things, our body's going to come to that set point. If you're above your set point when you start doing this work, then you might actually, you know, lose a little bit of weight. If you're below it, you might gain a little bit of weight. You might also stay the same. But the whole thing is that it's a byproduct, not the main objective. And if it's your objective, I question you and I ask you to kind of dig a little deeper and maybe look at, you know, what is the real thing here? Because likely what you want to do is if you want to lose weight, it's because you think you're going to feel some type of way about yourself. You think your life will be somehow way better if you do that thing. But our thoughts create our feelings, create how, you know, what actions we take in our life, not actually our external circumstances. So again, going back to what I was saying before, you know, if I do want to feel connected and loved and good enough, right, that doesn't come from a body size. So checking in and maybe doing some internal work, of which the byproduct might be weight change, but that should never be the main objective.
All right. Now, don't be tiptoeing around on my question here. I mean, you gave a lot of good information. I'm glad you're doing it. What about the boyfriend or girlfriend that's saying you need to? Now, are you doing it because you love them? You love yourself? Do you say, hey, you don't like it? The door is there. Don't let it hit you on the butt on the way out. Okay. So what about someone that's pushing you? You're going, I like the way I am. I don't care. And then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting question. Yes. It's a good question, right? So the first thing is that a person often, not always, often thinks someone should lose weight because they think that that person would be better if they lost weight, whether it be they'd be happier or healthier or whatever, right? There, it's often coming from a place of love, but it's kind of projected as maybe this like lose weight, right? And so it's being able to kind of distinguish, it's like, where is this person coming from? What are they actually saying right now? And knowing as well, the person likely has a lot of fat phobia, a lot of, you know, being deeply ingrained in diet culture where they think that, you know, oh, I thought I lost you there for a second. like lagged, but you're there. Right. But they're basically, a lot of the time they project their own internal issues onto you. So if you have someone telling you, you need to lose weight, someone telling you, you'd be so much prettier if you lost this or you looked a certain way, they're projecting their own unhealed insecurities about themselves onto you. That's not your issue. My sister's always says, that sounds like an issue, not an ish me. So if someone's commenting on your weight, that's their own problem, not your own, right? It's your choice if you want to go and do some work on you, internal work, right? Weight loss maybe is a byproduct of that. But if someone is telling you, you need to lose weight, yeah, you can definitely show them the door because they have issues that's going on inside them and they're not yours to take on.
Yeah. So that's what I was thinking too, with the boyfriend, girlfriend, whichever one's saying you need to, at first, is it in the interest of me getting healthier so I can move around better? Like for me in a wheelchair, I know I need to lose some weight. It'd make it easier for me transfer and everything like that. And I'm working on it, Victoria, get off me. To leave me alone, I'm working on it. All right, so, but that's the difference I was looking at. If it's for health reasons, they want you to live 10 years longer, whatever it is, and again, losing a proper weight, you know, to help you. Now, compared to a controlling lover, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, that they so controlling that they want to control your weight as well. So that's where the fan, I guess if they're in that relationship already, they're going to do what they tell them to do because you know how it is with controlling. Well, I don't know if you know how it is, but what people are. Yeah,
for sure. And it comes back to the person's intention, but as well knowing that, you know, someone shaming you to lose weight is never going to lead to positive action, right? Exactly. Shame is always going to lead to something negative. So as well, if someone's feeling really empowered in their life, if the relationship is feeling really solid and good, and you want to take some steps to do some more internal work, right? And dig into intuitive eating, like what I coach, then like, amazing, do that. But don't come at it from a space of, you know, you'd look better or you'd be better if you looked a certain way. And be very cautious, even if you are wanting to come at it from a health standpoint, because weight is a very difficult subject for people. And people often are very aware of their body and of their body size. And you telling them that they need to lose weight is likely not the support they actually need. They likely need some just love, and they need someone to talk to and connect to, like as any human does, regardless of our size, right? And that can often pave the way for us making choices that are better suited to our actual needs. But shaming someone, you know, telling them that they have to do this and that, that's just going to have the complete opposite effect of what you want.
Exactly, exactly. All right, so what's number step two and possible three?
So step two, I would definitely say, is create a virtual environment where you feel yourself being supported. So we live in wherever we are in the world, you know, and it's not always available to us to have different resources in our day to day where we learn about things like intuitive eating and how to feel confident in our body and, you know, unlearning a lot of these diet culture kind of things. And so if you create a virtual environment for yourself where you are exposed to these things and you feel safe to be yourself because you see your body type represented and you're learning learning about all these different kind of things, that's such an incredible tool on your journey to healing your relationship with food. So go online and look for, you know, the hashtags around intuitive eating coaches, food freedom, you know, Haze, health at every size, you know, body confidence, body positivity, like look for different people who talk about that kind of stuff, buy books that are about that kind of stuff, really create an environment for yourself where you're able to flourish and learn and better understand yourself.
And speaking of buy books, Victoria Evans' book is in the making. And so let's be sure to keep that in mind in the future and hope the future is going to be next 6 months to a year. And so then we can come back and plug your book and get people to get interested in it. So so I'm glad you mentioned book unintentionally. So I'm glad you mentioned it, though, so we can go and promote that book. Let's get it pushed out there. All right. Do you have a third option now, third advice, or is two enough right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to do more if you'd like. I'm always happy to. So the third thing I would say is if you are someone who is really struggling, for example, with keeping certain types of foods in the house. So maybe you've been dieting, or maybe you're someone who thinks to yourself, I can't keep cookies in the house because I'm out of control around them, or chocolate chips or whatever that food might be. Really knowing that, what I'll say to the clients, is that restriction creates rebellion and allowance creates space for choice. The more that you tell yourself, I can't have this food, the more you make it off limits, the more you're going to think about that food, right? It's like me telling you, don't think about pink elephants, right? It's like ironic processes. Now you're thinking about pink elephants because that's how our brain works. Versus, you know, if I was to tell you, another example, like starting tomorrow, you're never allowed to have any of your favorite food, for example, chocolate. Probably tonight you're going to go out and eat all the chocolate in the world, right? Versus if I tell you, you know, as of now, you're always going to have chocolate in arm's length. You're always going to have availability to it. And you just maybe day one and two, it's very exciting. You eat a lot of chocolate. After that, it's going to lose its novelty. It's going to lose its excitement. So if you're someone who feels out of control around certain types of food, it's likely because you're restricting that food, whether it be you're telling yourself you can't have it, you're beating yourself up for when you eat it, you're not keeping it in the house, right? You tell yourself, once I finish this box tomorrow, I won't buy any more, all those kind of things. And so creating that level of restriction and scarcity is what's driving that feeling of, you know, even addiction and being out of control around that food. So allowing yourself to step into more abundance around that kind of food and create a feeling of, you know, knowing it's going to be there to remove that kind of novelty. And that's also what I coach about as well. So
there's some programs that they concentrate on the weight loss. You get on the scale every other day or whatever. There's other programs that do the tape measure to see how many inches or with y'all centimeters from there. Which one would you be of the two? Or are you the third one? As long as I can button my pants, I'm in good shape.
I'm the secret option C, none of the above.
Okay. No, that's good. That's good.
So my work has nothing to do with losing weight, has nothing to do with inches or anything at all, because, you know, health isn't a body size. Feeling good in your body isn't a body size, right? If I was to go off BMI standards, I'd be considered overweight right now. And I CrossFit, I can do much more things than the average person. So, you know, looking at those kind of standards, it's completely irrelevant, right? We don't know anything about a person based off of their weight, their size. Like, our weight is just gravitational pull on the earth. It doesn't say anything about us as a person. And so I don't think that using those as markers is really helpful. I don't think it creates a level of freedom. Rather, it creates a feeling of obsession, because the only constant in our life is change. And if we're measuring our success based off of something, you know, our body, that's always going to be changing, then likely our sense of self-worth, if we've attached it to that, is going to be fluctuating as well.
Yes, you're right. If we're dependent on our success, then that means we're also dependent on our failures. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go whichever way it's happening, failure or success. Yeah,
exactly.
So, All right. So go ahead and tell us about, your social media. Go and tell us if people want to come find you, if you want to explain more about your coaching. I know you got your online courses. Go ahead and tell us how we can find those. And you can spell all you want to, but I'll still put it in the description to make it easier for people to find. But go ahead and tell us about it.
Yeah, so I definitely hang out most on Instagram. So that is at Victoria Evans Official. So if you're listening to this podcast, head over on Instagram, add me there, let me know that you listen to it, send me a little message and ask me any questions at all. You can also find me on my website, www.victoriaevansofficial.com/programs. I have everything there. And you know, you can be different ways to contact me. My new favorite thing that I created is my course that you're mentioning. It's called the Craving Food Freedom Course. So it's a 6-week online self-paced course teaching you everything you need to know about how to heal your relationship with food and become an intuitive eater with total food freedom for life, so that eating can really just feel easy and effortless and feel confident in your body. So that's on my website as well. And if you use coupon code podcast, you get 10% off.
Podcast, 10% off. Now we're talking. All right. Now, so if you go in and DM and everything to Victoria, put in there POP, P-O-P, and that means Professor of Perseverance. So she'll know you come from here. So, All right, Victoria. So you got your, we mentioned now, social media. Again, I'll put everything in the description to help make it easy for people to click on it and come find you and grab you and everything. And from there. So, hey, I appreciate you being on and helping, and I mean, you've got a lot to offer to help people, and I appreciate it. You're a remarkable, amazing woman.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed the conversation.
All right. Thank you. And for everyone else, if I can help you with anything, you can go to professorofperseverance.com. And down if you scroll on down just a little bit, you see I have a free mini course and an ebook for you. And they're both titled, Your Past Doesn't Have a Future, But You Do. Create your future today. Hey, be sure to share this out. If you're coming in on the replay, you do not have to have some type of eating disorder to be able to share this out. You don't have to be a spinal cord injury to be able to share it out. But the message of providing hope, encouragement, firing you up, motivated, inspiring is all the same. So you know somebody could use this. So thank you for being here. Victoria, thank you for being here. Everyone else, do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.